But there are not many other order members, who could have taken on that responsibility. Perhaps so far there aren't any others. Certainly, very, very few. So people must be ready to take on responsibilities. So now the question arises, the great question arises, why are more people not more ready to take on responsibilities? Why is it that I'm not able to hand over more responsibilities than I have in fact handed over so far? Well, just in a few words, one might say that the reason is that people, not just all the members, but mitras and friends too, are not sufficiently active. Now, I put active within single inverted commas because I don't mean active in the ordinary sense. I don't mean just busy. What I mean is that there's a certain lack of what I can only call motivation. People are not sufficiently alive in the spiritual sense, not sufficiently mature in the spiritual sense, because one of the signs of maturity is you can take on responsibility. So I've been thinking about this quite a lot. I've been thinking quite a lot about this question of motivation and what motivates people. And members of the Order of His Community will know that I've been sort of thinking aloud on this topic at lunchtime, on quite a number of occasions. And I must say, my thoughts are not fully formulated as yet. But even though they're not formulated, though I'm still in a way thinking, I'll just share with you some of my ideas. I start, one might say, from the standpoint of survival. We're all alive. There are lots of other living things in the world, on this earth. Not only human beings, there's animals, insects, plants. And one thing that they have in common is that they all want to survive. They all seek to survive. They struggle to survive. And this is certainly true of human beings. It was certainly true of human beings in the earlier stages of their evolution, in the earlier stages of history, of prehistory, that they struggled to survive. They had to struggle to survive. It wasn't easy to survive. Perhaps it was easy to survive in some remote mythological golden age, but not in any age of which we have any real knowledge. It wasn't easy to survive. You had to gather food, you had to fend off wild beasts, you had to protect yourself from all sorts of natural calamities. So one might say that men, that human beings, were kept on their toes by the need to survive. They were motivated by the need to survive. And until very, very recent times, the vast majority of human beings had to spend much of their time and nearly all their energies just in order to survive. In more recent times, just earning a living. So this is what kept them going. Because if they didn't keep going, if they didn't work, if they didn't earn, well, they'd simply starve. So they were motivated. They were active, one might say. But in modern times, what does one find happening? In some favoured parts of the world, people don't need to struggle, they don't need to work in order to survive. They can survive without doing anything at all. Well, how is that? Well, in some parts of the world, we've got what we call the welfare state. And there's such a thing as the dole. And you can survive without working. You can survive without making any effort. And in the Western world, there are quite a lot of people in this sort of position. There are not many people in the Eastern world in this sort of position. Certainly not many people in the developing world, much less still in the undeveloped world. But in the developed world, including Britain, there are quite a few people who can survive quite easily without working. So what sort of position do they find themselves in? What is it that motivates them? Do they have anything to motivate them now that they no longer have to work and make an effort in order to survive. In many cases, they don't. So what happens when a person, let's say an ordinary person, doesn't have to work in order to survive? You can survive without working. Well, they just sort of drift. Huh? They become sort of lazy. Huh? What happens to their energies? Well, their energies perhaps don't have any proper outlet. Huh? And their energies perhaps, you know, turn sort of negative, huh? Become even destructive. And in this way, you get vandalism, you get hooliganism, you get violence, just as we have seen a great increase in this country in the course of the last few years. There have been all sorts of quite horrific incidents. And I think this is really the reason, that people whose energies would formerly have gone into the struggle to survive no longer have to struggle to survive, and their energies have not yet found employment. Perhaps their energies are too crude as yet to find employment in any other way. Some people are able to channel their energies into the arts, into creativity, and a very, very few into spiritual life. Now, I think a lot of people in the FWO, a lot of people in our own movement, are in a sort of intermediate position. Many of them don't have to work in order to survive. Some of them may even quite literally be on the dole. But their energies are not, as it were, aroused and stimulated by that need to survive, by that need to earn a living. Huh? At the same time, their energies are engaged in, say, cultural activities and spiritual activities, but only to a quite limited extent. They haven't succeeded in completely, as it were, shifting their energies out of the survival gear, let us say, into a higher cultural and spiritual gear, in many cases. A few have. Some of the best known, some of the most successful, in a spiritual sense, some of the most senior and experienced order members have succeeded in doing that. In other words, they've succeeded in transferring, or if you like, even sublimating, those energies which ordinarily would have gone into the struggles for survival, into purely cultural, religious and spiritual channels, into Buddhist channels, into Dharmic channels. All their energies are therefore behind everything that they do in the movement. We all know, you know, such people. Huh? They just go, say, from one activity to another. Ask them to give a talk, they can give it. Ask them to lead a meditation class, they'll lead it. Ask them to help you, to go out with you, to give you some advice, to spend an hour with you, they can do it. You know, all their energies are, as it were, available for the movement, available for the Buddha, available for the Dharma, available for the Sangha. But a lot of people in the FWO are in a sort of intermediate position. They've not yet been able to transfer all their energies, disengaged though they are from the struggle for survival, into purely cultural and spiritual channels. So they remain, as it were, half alive. They're not very active, and therefore, since they're not very alive and not very active, it isn't possible for anyone to hand over to them anything very much in the way of responsibilities. So, as I've said, I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently, because I do sometimes wonder, to be quite frank, why some order members don't do more, why some mitras don't do more, why some friends don't do more than they actually do, because there is so much to be done. There are so many people in this Western world of ours, even in Britain, needing the Dharma, who could benefit from the Dharma. But not very many people, even in the movement, feel a real urge, you know, to go out and communicate it to them, even though they know it could help them, it could benefit them, you know, so very, very much. You read all sorts of, you know, terrible stories in the newspapers, and you hear them on the radio, about people committing suicide, people taking to alcohol, becoming alcoholics, people becoming dependent upon drugs. This is really dreadful. Huh? And, you know, if we have any sort of spark of metta and karuna in us, we should really want to communicate with these people and, you know, bring to them the awareness that there is another way, that you don't have to indulgent in all these dreadful things. It is possible for you to live as a human being, grow as a human being, develop as a human being. It's really tragic and it's extraordinary that in our welfare state, where so many facilities are provided for so many people, I mean, some have to have recourse to alcohol and to drugs, and the number of such people is increasing, as well as the number of people who are having recourse to violence. Something has gone wrong seriously somewhere, and we could put it right, or help to put it right, if we were more outward going in communicating the Dharma. We could have a much greater impact than the FWO has as yet had. So we have to strengthen our motivation. I mentioned the three order members, Subhuti, Kamala Sheila, and Suvajra, who went to India, to whom I handed over that sort of responsibility. But I ought really to be able to hand over that sort of responsibility to every order member who's been an order member, say, for 10 years. They ought by this time to be able to take on that sort of responsibility. And some order members, of course, are already very busy. But they could be relieved from some of their present responsibilities if Mitras were more active. And Mitras could be relieved of some of their present responsibilities if friends were more active. One just, it seems to me, needs a stronger motivation. A more effective channeling of one's energies away from, well, they're already channeled away from the need to survive, but into more definitely cultural and spiritual channels, instead of them sort of half stagnating somewhere in the between, which is what is happening in the case of quite a few people in the FWO at the moment.